Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Krishna Shyashati, an adjunct assistant professor of medicine at Penn Medicine, about approaches toward addressing transportation insecurity in oncology. So Dr. Shyashati, can you start by discussing social determinants of health and why this is such an important topic in oncology right now?
Yeah, so you know, we have pretty good evidence here that there are really two things when we think about people's outcomes or how they do. So one is just the medical needs that they have, like the disease itself and how you treat it. But really connected with that is just how their lives impact that. And so that's kind of largely spoken of as their social determinants of health, but it's all the kind of different dimensions, finances, education, their social supports, and how those really help individuals seek the care that they need or have enough resources to actually get the care that they really need. And so the two combined, their disease state and also their social needs put together, are really the things that we observe how people do.
In terms of social determinants of health, what are the key challenges for patients undergoing cancer treatment?
First, I'd say, you know, probably the no-brainer or most obvious part about cancer treatment is that, like, it's life-threatening. And, you know, not treating it here really can have fairly dire consequences. Oftentimes, we think about cancer in the sense that people are really trying to move mountains or do anything they can to treat the disease. Now, that may not always be true, that is kind of a broad swath there. And that's certainly a patient decision or patient choice. But by and large, people are actively seeking therapies or treatments for their cancer. And when we think about the ways in which social needs can really impact that, it can be pretty dire there. Because, you know, you can imagine how much they're moving mountains, changing their jobs, pausing their jobs, moving finances around just to seek the care that they need or want and desire here. And so when those social needs really become an impediment or a blocker here, we really want to think about, gosh, how can we remove those things? Oftentimes, that's a choice of life and death.
Transportation insecurity is something that comes up often when we have these conversations about oncology care and equity. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I would say transportation is one of many different dimensions here. We've been thinking about transportation a lot for all kinds of different conditions. We've done some studies here in the primary care setting. We've thought about it here for some more routine visits. Probably the big lesson that we learned here is that transportation can be a key ingredient for those, but really it comes to head when the treatment is really important and transportation really becomes a blocker here. And so what I mean by that is sometimes transportation, I'm a primary care doc, so take it for what it's worth, but sometimes if they don't want to come see me to like manage their weight or manage their blood pressure, they'll just say it was transportation. But, you know, truth be told, I know it's probably like 10 other things that probably is it, but transportation is just like the easiest thing to hang their hat on. But we have this hypothesis here and actually some decent evidence to show that when the treatment is like an emergency or life-threatening, something like cancer, and if somebody says that transportation truly is a barrier, it truly is a barrier for them in that specific situation because they, again, like how we framed it from the beginning, they would move mountains basically to be able to make it to that appointment. And so when it really is a barrier, we want to think about, gosh, what are some solutions or what are some ways in which we can help support patients in getting there? And to begin, we got to really understand how big the problem is. Here and when does it matter?
You were a part of a survey of the National Comprehensive Cancer Network on this topic. What was the overall goal of this survey?
Yeah, it really was just kind of, quite frankly, scratching the surface here, really trying to understand where the community is at. Now, I will say, not just in the cancer community space, but in the larger healthcare space, there's always been this chicken or egg conundrum here. And so the chicken or egg conundrum here is that there is decent evidence here that social determinants or social needs here are really impacting people's ability to seek care. But the evidence isn't strong enough that many centers or many locations, again, cancer or not, are providing those interventions. They say, well, people say that, but I haven't seen strong evidence yet to indicate that if I did something about it, it would actually create an impact or move the needle on care here. We have a stronger belief here in the cancer space. And so one of the things we wanted to try to understand was what are cancer centers starting to think about here in the space? How are they starting to remove layers of the onion here to kind of get at the heart of this chicken or egg kind of thing of like, oh gosh, are they starting to do interventions? Are they starting to test out different interventions in order to kind of get to the truth? Like, do these interventions work or do these interventions help here? And so the purpose of the NCCN, again, it's a collective group of some of the largest and leading institutions in the country to really understand what are they doing in the social needs space, and particularly in this transportation space.
Can you tell me what the findings were from this survey?
Generally speaking, the things that we have found from the survey were that lots of cancer centers were collecting the data, but really kind of in this kind of ad hoc kind of way, meaning basically as it's happening in conversations, say between a patient and like a social worker or a nurse or a clinician, they would be able to identify those things and mark them off. Some places had transportation services that they were starting to implement and integrate into the flow of care, but by and large, patients weren't being systematically screened. So you might ask, like, why is that a problem? So one of the challenges without systematically screening is we still don't know how large the problem actually is here. And we may not actually be reaching all the populations or the people that are in need. And it's a bit of a double-edged sword, right? So you can imagine some people are just saying, like, oh, you're going to offer free transportation? Sure, I'll raise my hand. Like, I mean, I need it, but I'm going to just tell you, I'll raise my hand. But that's not the point. Actually, the point we're trying to get to are the people that are almost ashamed of it, or like didn't even know that it was actually something they should be raising their hand for, or that the cancer center should be doing or could be doing for them. And so those are the kind of the things that you would actually really unearth with systematic screening. The other thing too, from a research standpoint or a policy standpoint, if you can systematically screen, identify the number of times that transportation needs occur, implement an intervention that actually provide some transportation and study the impacts of it, we actually could get to more of a ground truth of like, gosh, if we do this kind of end-to-end process, screening, program, evaluation, can we actually understand here how big of a transportation problem there is? And we can actually put a dollar amount to it. Actually, you only need to, you know, allocate less than 1% of your budget towards supporting transportation needs. And for those specific patients, it makes a huge difference in their cancer care. That's the kind of pathway I think we could be on to really start to understand what is going on, but only through kind of more systematic and systematically implemented screening do I think we can actually get to this ground truth.
So what more do you think can be done to help patients with cancer who have transportation issues?
Yeah, I think it will take a community. So, you know, I think a couple of things. One is that I think a lot of institutions are just learning how can they make an impact on social needs for patients. And I think there's actually a legitimate conundrum or question that's out there. Is like, should they be the ones handling it themselves? And what are those dimensions? Because it can be pretty broad, right? Like it can be job security, it can be financial resources, it can be covering for housing and rent stability, it can be for transportation, it can be all the different dimensions that you might think impact people's cancer care or cancer treatment outcomes here. And at the same time, it's not like there aren't members of the community already addressing these things. What we've really lacked here is an interconnectedness really between the healthcare ecosystem, the social service ecosystem, and really community resources that already exist out there. How can we actually create a better kind of integrated web between those? Or there may be actually certain interventions that actually a health system or a healthcare provider organization like a cancer center should do directly. One of the reasons that transportation is a little bit easier to study here is because it's like it's actually quite simple. It's a ride, you know. It's not overly complicated than that. Yet at the same time, where that ride comes from, how they connect with that resource, I think is a challenge that needs to be solved. And at the same time, could be solved specifically by a cancer center. And maybe I'll say one other thing is, you know, there have been a lot of conversations about kind of ride sharing companies, which are inherently are like tech based industries. But even like the traditional, like call the ambulance, call the van share rides, those become more tech enabled over time. So how do technology companies or rideshare companies be a part of this ecosystem to be determined? But I think if they can lower the cost, provide more reliable transportation, they may be an important tool to leverage. But none of that sugarcoats the kind of pure like understanding the ground truth. Does transportation matter? And if you do something about it, does it change outcomes?
Thank you for sharing, Dr. Shyashati. Is there anything else you think is important to mention on this topic?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say one limitation of the study itself is that there's obviously lots of other cancer centers, and there are lots of ways in which health systems are addressing them. This is totally a subset of a lot of the cancer treatment locations that are out there. You know, one could believe that these cancer centers are really kind of the most well-resourced, the best funded, both from research dollars and also donor dollars. And so this may be, well, I don't know, like the cream of the crop of what's happening. And yet at the same time, there's a huge problem to be solved, both for those institutions to try to understand, but then also the broader base of cancer, places where people can receive cancer care. And how how do we kind of help support this? Those models are going to look a little different, right? Depending on, you know, how much donor money that's there, what's the community they're from, what are the transportation networks around them, and how do those all integrate? So there's a lot of road ahead about how each of these locations may be solving or need to solve the problem in order to kind of get to the center.